Hi, this is DJ. This is the Joel 2 Generation podcast, and I'm entitling this podcast A Tale of Two Eschatologies, Part 2. I was a bit rushed kind of in ending the last one, and I realized that I did the classic kind of Christian testimony, evangelical testimony kind of a model So rather than talk about really the positive stuff, most of it was about the negative stuff. You know, think about a testimony. Somebody talks for, you know, a half an hour about, you know, how they got into drugs and how they were, you know, involved in, you know, gambling and criminal activity. And then finally, at the very end of the testimony, and it's like, and then I gave my life to Jesus. Thank you. And they sit down it's so typical. In reality, you know, we should probably be, you know, sharing 5 minutes of the bad parts and how bad and wicked things were. And then, you know, we'll spend the next 25 minutes talking about the glorious changes that have happened in our lives since we've come to Christ. And so I feel like I made that, you know, kind of that error in the last podcast, speaking almost the entire time about this first eschatology, this first end time view that like just has everything right now. I mean, just again, I believe that at the end of the age, I don't get me wrong, I truly believe there will be a tribulation someday. I just don't believe that we're in that time right now. That was the point. You know, that we're not in that hour. And these are the two, you know, views that I'm hearing, you know, oh gosh, it's all about to go up in flames, or, you know, nope, it's not the end and we can look for God to move. And so that's what I want to talk about just in this part two is why do I believe, you know, that we're not in those perilous times, that we're not in the very end, that you know, we're not in the days that Jesus said those days will be shortened for the sake of God's elect, for the sake of God's people, you know. And it's interesting, why would they need to be shortened for the sake of God's elect if God's elect weren't around? Again, just the people that believe that Christians and, you know, followers of Jesus get airlifted out of the tribulation. That's just not what the scripture teaches, and it's not what the church has ever believed. But anyway, so I made basically one point, you know, pretty clearly in that last podcast, was that the kinds of things that are happening, do not really even get close to the level of destruction and devastation and whatever that we, you know, that you want to talk about when you get into, you know, the plagues that are mentioned in the book of Revelation or the kinds of things that are spoken of in Matthew 24. Just, you know, again, there have been times and seasons in the history of the church where horrendous evil has taken place. And even over, you know, large areas of the planet. But what Jesus is speaking of is going to be global, and it's going to be at a level that has never been seen. So why do I believe? Again, I want to switch the channel, and it's just so easy right now. It is so easy in the natural to listen to the news and to watch the developments and to hear the reports almost every day. And just, it just gets heavy. It just gets depressing, to be honest. You know, when I listen to some of these people that are the doom and gloomers and we're going into the tribulation, it can become, you know, a low level sadness, a depression, a real heaviness. So why do I believe that those are not the days, other than just, you know, the fact that the level of evil, corruption, and devastation that we're seeing isn't anywhere near what the Bible describes that will characterize the end of the age. And one of the things, and I didn't get into it, is that, you know, God's people globally have been crying out. And they've been crying out. I would say that there has been a growing cry. And I would say that if you just take the last 6 months, you know, 6 to 8 months, you know, with obviously a very, you know, a growing global, you know, spirit of fear on the planet because of COVID and all that was happening there. And then, you know, obviously going, you know, as the elections were approaching in the United States, there was a global cry. There were millions, and this isn't an exaggeration, millions of Christians praying and fasting around the world for God's intervention and for God's intervention in the COVID, you know, situation. Yes, and for the devastation that COVID was causing and continues to cause, you know, on all fronts, on the fear front, on the economic front, the impact that it's had on families. It's ripped families apart. It's ripped churches apart. It's ripped communities apart. All of us have experienced that, you know, at some level, in some way or another. And so there was a global cry, and there was a, you know, I've never seen in all the years that I've been a Christian and have been involved at whatever level with the global prayer movement, and I've never seen, and I heard many Christian leaders say the same thing all across the planet, global voices, that there was never, has never been a more concerted global effort in prayer, fasting, repentance for the sake of what was happening in globally with COVID, in you know, what happened and you know, what's come to light in the US elections and the forces involved. You know, again, I don't want to, it isn't about going into all those details because that can get depressing, but you know, there was the, you know, really the mandate, you know, that God's people humble themselves and pray, this Old Testament promise, if my people who are called by my name, right, you know, will humble themselves and pray, and that God will heal the land, right? There was never, has never been the kind of prayer initiative, the kind of, I mean, I remember it around, you know, if you look at the, you know, just around the September, October, the fasting, the prayer, the pressing in, it was just unbelievable. The types of things that were happening globally in the body of Christ. And I can tell you, I know that the Lord heard the cries of his people. And I know that it's popular for, you know, popular position is, well, obviously they didn't pray enough. Obviously they didn't fast enough. Well, the bottom line is that if we didn't fast and pray enough, if the church did not fast and pray enough, then we can never fast and pray enough. Because this was the most the church had ever fasted and prayed globally about anything. I mean, and when I say globally, I'm not just speaking out of ignorance. I mean, I was made aware of a prayer movement in India where there were hundreds of thousands of of believers praying for what was going on inside America, realizing that what was happening with the American elections and what would happen, you know, with one administration versus another administration would have a massive impact globally on the planet. And they were praying. You know, and they were praying for righteousness. They were praying for justice. They were praying for God's you know, purposes to be accomplished, you know, in other words, they were, you know, and it, there's, I'm, you know, I'm no, you know, unapologetic about the fact that they were praying with intention that this socialistic, neo-Marxist, globalist, you know, administration right now, that they would not win, that they would not get into power. Because at least, thank God, at least many Christians around the world had more discernment than duped, many duped Christians, many naive Christians that, you know, were in America that were, you know, thinking, oh, I don't want Trump in office again because I don't like the way he tweets or something like that, you know. Many of them are being, you know, awakened to just the foolishness, for their lack of discernment, for just realizing that they were caught up in a spirit of the age, you know, where they were not sons and daughters of Issachar. They didn't understand what was happening. Anyway, so all that to say, I am convinced that we are going to see God moving in justice, God moving in righteousness, God moving to bring correction, God moving to expose corruption, God moving to bring about, you know, an incredible harvest, global harvest. None of that. None of that has yet happened, you know. In the natural, it looks like, you know, the devil wins. The devil's winning, you know. On every front, it looks like he's winning, you know. And this is just, you know, it's impossible. It's not consistent with the character and the nature of God, you know. He's a God who is a God of justice. I mean, righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne, you know? And I get it. Yes, I understand. Yes, but you got to understand that justice is going to come at the end when Jesus comes back. That's when we can expect justice. Well, you know what? No, that's actually, I mean, yes, that's ultimately every, you know, we understand that there is a day of ultimate justice that will come. But that's all throughout the history of God's people. God has moved in history to deliver his people and to establish his purposes. And I believe we're in that hour. I believe we're in that hour where God is going to move. Now, we don't know exactly the when. You know, there were many prophetic people, many prophetic voices all around the world that have seen the same thing. And this is another reason that I am staying in this place of expectancy and faith that we are about to see God move, because so many of God's people saw it. God spoke to our community. He spoke to me. He spoke to my wife. There were things that we were given by revelation from the Lord about what he was going to do, about what was going to happen, you know? No, we weren't given a date, you know? Wow, what about January this, or what about February that, or what, you know? I don't know what the dates are, you know? I am personally convinced that it is soon, that we are about to see some of the cracks that are going to break open, and we're going to start to see justice come and things being exposed that some people, you know, seem clear about and know about and are reporting about, but many are in the dark about. Many are still captive to, you know, to lies and false narratives, and they don't even know what's, you know, I never heard about that. What? There's evidence of this or that, or they're not hearing, you know, they're not. Using discernment in this hour is probably the greatest famine in the land amongst God's people. People be, you know, knowing who to listen to, one, you know, and having discernment when they hear. So I believe that we are living in a time where God is going to show the world who he is, what his nature is. He is what his character is, what his kingdom is like. And the real question for us as believers is, which one of these eschatologies takes any faith to believe? I mean, which one takes faith? Does it take faith right now to just believe that it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and the world's going to end? Or does it take faith to believe that God is going to actually intervene, that there will truly be, as many have seen and said, there's going to truly be a Red Sea moment where God is, you know, does something of the nature of parting the Red Sea to deliver his people, to accomplish his purposes? I mean, seriously, you know, the very character of God is called into question if this were to be the end. I'm convinced of this, and here's why. What fireworks show doesn't end with a finale? You know, if the end of the age was to happen in a few years or whatever, you know, let's just say we enter into a 7-year tribulation and then the end comes, you know, who's going to get the lion's share of the glory in this hour? You know, at the end, you know, it's not going to be God's people. It's not going to be, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Yeah, but he's coming. He's coming in glory. Yeah, but you know, what is the scripture, you know, speaks about the gospel of the kingdom being preached throughout all the world, right? And it speaks about, you know, the glory, you know, the prophetic scriptures in the Old Testament speak about that the glory on the latter house, speaking of, you know, God's people and God's purposes at the end of the age is going to exceed that of the former, right? So I have been, you know, convicted and convinced for many, many years, you know, that even though there will be great darkness and great evil that characterize the end of the age, at the same time, there is going to be the greatest glory, the greatest harvest, the greatest ingathering of souls, the greatest expansion of the kingdom. And yes, you know, the gospel is being preached all around the world, you know, but we have not seen anything like what the prophetic scriptures and the very character and nature of God hint at and reveal in terms of the purposes of God at you know, as he brings in, you know, a final great harvest. You know, some people speak about the 1 billion soul harvest, where literally at the very, you know, there will be just an incoming, I mean, a 1 billion soul harvest. I mean, right now that would be, you know, 1/7 of the planet coming to Jesus, you know, something of that magnitude, right? So nothing like that, you know. People talk about moves of God and, oh, revival. And I mean, we've cheapened the currency with using terms that are not descriptive of what's really going on. I mean, I live in a part of the world where we are seeing people come to faith, but it's a trickle. You know, it's one here, two there, a couple there. I mean, it's nothing that could be described as, you know, a massive move of God, revival, you know, whatever the words that are, you know, thrown around and utilized. I really believe that the currency of so many of these terms has been cheapened because they've just been overused, right? We haven't seen that. And so I am convinced that for these reasons, we are about to see God move. We are about to see God coming with he is going to come to rectify. He is going to come to bring justice. He is going to come to shift the tide and to change things. And again, I'm praying. Obviously, I'm praying and fasting that, you know, it's Lent is still, the season of Lent is here. We are praying and fasting that that is now, you know, and there are others I've heard that are, you know, saying it, well, it's going to be, it's still going to be, you know, some more months, you know, carrying off into, you know, past the summer into the fall, you know. I'm like, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I want to see it happen now. I want to see the shift now. I want to see us turn a corner now. But I'm going to stay in a place of faith, and I'm going to encourage the people that I'm around, the people that are in our community. I'm going to say, hey, listen, guys, let's stay in a place of faith. Let's stay in a place of expectancy, you know? And let's make sure that we are comparing with the prophetic scriptures what's happening, you know, across the planet. And you know, before we you know, before we're, as many have been so quick to, you know, to sign on to the, well, we're at the very end. Are we seeing anything like what the scripture describes? No, I think it is an unbiblical assessment to say, oh, this is that, you know, oh no, but don't you understand? Jesus was using apocalyptic language. It was by nature, you know, hyperbole, and they wrote these things in such a way. No, I actually don't believe that. I mean, even though it is apocalyptic language and it's speaking about, you know, signs in the heavens and signs on the earth, and it's this, you know, there is a literary type that Jesus was utilizing when he was speaking, but he did it with a purpose. You know, he was speaking about a widespread global phenomenon at a level that we are just not seeing anything close to, the level of wickedness and evil that he, or, you know, the other apostolic, you know, be it the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, we're just not seeing that. So we need to be biblical, you know? And finally, I know that Jesus said, my sheep shall hear my voice. And I am connected to, not just where I live, but connected all around the world with followers of Jesus that are pressing into him and hear his voice. And I know, I believe that, you know, if we truly were in the hour that of the perilous times, that the God who speaks would be speaking to all of us and saying, no, actually it is time to prepare. It is that season. It is upon us. We are entering into that tribulation, you know? I mean, Jesus said things like, you know what? You know, if, you know, he had real radical instructions for people, you know, flee, go move, you know, go from here, go to the hills. You know, if this type of, if you're in this situation, you know, move there. I mean, it was drastic advice that he was giving, right? I mean, radical advice for his followers that were living in that hour. And there have been hours in the history of the church where people have had to apply some of that. I mean, you know, I think of one of the most incredible moments in history is when the city of Constantinople fell, and, you know, to the Muslims. That was like, what has, you know, has Western civilization, you know, or whatever, has Christian civilization fallen, you know? Anyway, there's been moments in history that have been devastating to the purposes of God's people. But then on the other side of that, you know, God began to move. And you know, we just look at history. I mean, amazing moves of God that happened, you know, subsequently. So I hope and pray that this, I went longer on purpose with this second part. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be a bit more intentional about why I believe we are looking at God about to move and we are looking at God about to bring justice. We are looking at evil about to be exposed, about to be overturned. And I believe that it is the very name of God. You know, my prayer is, Lord, vindicate your name, vindicate your purposes, vindicate your people, you know, vindicate the remnant that has stood in the gap and prayed and fasted and are, you know, have contended and are contending for the greatest move of God, the greatest revival, the greatest ingathering of souls that we've ever seen. That's the hour I believe that we are in. That is what we have not yet seen. And that is why I believe that if we take these two eschatologies, these two end time views, or, you know, timing views, whatever you want to say, that we're not in that hour. We're not in the hour where everything is about to end. We are in the hour where God is about to move. We are in the hour where God is about to show himself strong and glorify his name. And I'll ask you just again that question I ask, which one of these two views requires us to exercise faith? Anyway, this is DJ. This is the Joel Two Generation Podcast, A Tale of Two Eschatologies, Part 2.